The date is, virtually every day over the last 35 years, and the place is on your television sets, armed with hidden cameras, with microphones and motives of investigative journalism. We have programs like Dateline, NBC, we have 60 Minutes and countless others. And I was watching one of these not that long ago, and one of them decided to go behind the scenes of a used car dealership. A bunch of used car dealerships across North America. It was incredible. See, there was a couple of salesmen who had absolutely no problems outright lying to potential customers. In fact, they would go out of their way to cover up mechanical problems. They would lie about just about anything. Now, if you happen to be in this profession of used car salesman, let's face it, there's a few strikes against you, okay? I'm sure you're not one of these guys, but have you ever wondered what kind of a story it would be like if they went undercover into the homes of Christians? If they installed hidden cameras in the church, what would the secret tape look like if they shot some film of churchgoers in their cars or at their jobs or at their homes? It'd be quite a story, wouldn't it? I can see the headlines now. Christians who play charades. Or pretenders in the pews. I could see how people from the outside, from the secular world, would look at this and go, wow, the church is full of hypocrites. And it's like the man who told the pastor, "Pastor, I'm sorry, I just can't come to church. It's just full of hypocrites." And the pastor looked at him and said, "That's okay, there's always room for one more." So according to the dictionary, a hypocrite is a person who pretends to have beliefs or practices which he or she does not actually possess. And when it's used in the Bible, the term comes from an ancient Greek word for the theater, where an actor would often portray two different parts. And when he's saying something humorous, he would hold up a mask and have a smiley face. And everything would be said with a smile. And then when there would be playing a tragic part, he would hold up a different mask and it would have a sad face and he would say it with a sad voice. And a good actor could imitate the speech, the mannerisms, and the conduct of the character he was portraying at that very moment. And the word literally means one who hides behind a mask. Now, one of the reasons why there are so many hypocrites in the church is because not all church people are Christians. Going to church will not automatically change anyone's behavior. People go for all sorts of reasons, habits or rituals. Maybe they seek the truth. Some seek love. Some seek acceptance from others. Others are there just to do a little bit of social networking. Others, well, perhaps they're just looking for a spouse. You ever heard of that one? We have to start to live with the possibility that what some people perceive as hypocrisy in the church is in fact the result of mistaken identity. Some people are no more Christians than I am Jewish just because I love falafels and shawarma. Okay? Just because I love those foods does not make me Jewish. Neither does coming to church make you a Christian. Some people, they look like they're Christians because they get up on Sunday mornings and they go to a place called church. Now, for those of you who are not Christians, this is going to take some pressure off of you. Because if you're just investigating Christianity, you're not expected to actually act like a Christian if you're not one yet. As you seek and ask questions, you don't have to get caught up in what you should and shouldn't do. But once you surrender your life to Christ, He'll begin changing you from the inside out. You don't have to manufacture the Christian behavior on your own. He will give you the desire and the power to change after you receive Christ into your life. So there's this story about a basketball coach. And they were horrible. Their team was like horrendous. Okay? And he was thinking, what can I tell my players? What can I tell them? What can I tell them that's going to encourage them? So he says, you know what? I've got it. They're in the locker room. They're about to go into the game. And he says, I want you to pretend to be the best basketball team there ever was. You can be the best point guard. You can be the best this. And you can be the best this. You can be the best rebounder. You can be the best. Just pretend to be the best. Go out there and pretend to be the best team ever. And so they went out there and they lost miserably. Horribly. Worse than usual, in fact. And they're in the locker room and the coach is just dejected. And a player walks up to him and says, it's okay, coach, you can just pretend we won. So some people in the church are not really Christians in the first place. So then why does it appear that so many true Christians are hypocrites? And I think it results from some confusion as to what a real Christian is. In fact, as we better understand what true Christianity is and what a true Christian is, we'll have a better understanding of what a hypocrite is. So first of all, real Christians are forgiven sinners. Perhaps you've seen the bumper sticker that reads, Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. The Bible never says that Christians are perfect. It does say that those who surrender their lives to Him will be perfectly forgiven, though. And there's this unspoken assumption that a Christian is somehow someone who never, ever sins. You ever feel like that? You talk with the secular world and they say, oh, Christians, they can't do that. They can't sin. Oh, he couldn't possibly be a Christian because he just did something that was bad. Nothing could be further from the truth. In reality, it's just the opposite. 1 John 1:8 puts it this way. He says it very clearly. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. A hypocrite or one who wears a mask, claims to be free from faults. A Christian, on the other hand, freely admits the fact that he or she is a sinner. And the next verse in John 1:9 describes the difference between a hypocrite and an honest sinner. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So a forgiven sinner consistently seeks out the cleansing power of the blood of Christ for his sins. To look at the church and see sinners is one thing, but to label the church as full of hypocrites is completely a different ballgame. The church is not a hall of super saints, but a hospital for sick sinners. When I sin and I don't own up to my sin before God, I have become a cover-up artist. I become one who wears a mask. And the surest way to beat hypocrisy is by recognizing my sinfulness and asking for forgiveness. It's not about being good. It's about being forgiven. And I find comfort to know that we all mess up. Yes, as I look out around the room, I'm glad to see that you mess up and you mess up. And I know that you mess up and I know that you mess up. And that's great. I'm glad. I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one. Because one of the greatest Christians who ever lived was the Apostle Paul. He knew who he was. And in 1 Timothy, he writes these words. He says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Notice that he doesn't say that he was a sinner. He says that he still is a sinner. And since Christians are not perfect, then churches are not full of perfect people. And I know that I am a sinner. And I know that you're a sinner, and we are a church full of forgiven sinners. The church is actually the only organization that I can think of where admission of sinfulness is a requirement. This is a place for sinners. If you have the courage to admit that, then you're one of us. Now, the second characteristic of a real Christian is that they are not what they used to be. Some of you may look at a Christian and wonder why they behave a certain way. After all, a real Christian shouldn't lose his temper, right? A real Christian shouldn't struggle with alcohol. A real Christian, they don't swear. Instead of focusing on how far we have fallen short, why not think about how far we have come? For instance, even though I have a long way to go in several areas of my life, I am totally different than I was 23 years ago. I used to have a terrible temper. I drank a lot. I swore a lot. I did a lot of other bad things. Now, if I lose my temper watching a Blue Bomber game because the guy in the stripes just doesn't know what he's doing, he doesn't know the rule book as well as I do, you could question my Christianity. Or if you knew me before, you might say, boy, I've seen a lot of change in his life. See, you see me as a pastor, but those who have known me and known my past see something completely different. See, Jess, she's often said, I'm glad I didn't know you before you became a Christian because I wouldn't like you. But folks, there are a lot of people like me in church. We're in process. Even though we have a long way to go, we're not what we used to be. We are a new creation in Christ, and the old has gone and the new has come. And those of you who have surrendered your lives to Christ have become someone new. You're not what you used to be. Praise God. Amen. The next thing we need to realize is that real Christians are becoming what they will be. A real Christian will be transformed completely and will become perfect one day. And that's not going to happen in this life, but at death, when we will be radically changed and we will spend eternity with Christ. But in the meantime, God, through the Holy Spirit, provides some divine house cleaning in our lives. And when we mess up, he prompts us to confess it. And he gives us the courage and the humility to ask for forgiveness. And he gives us the power to live in a way that the Bible teaches. And he helps develop the character of Christ within us and causes the fruit of the Spirit to ripen in our lives. Because Christians are becoming what they will be. As authentic Christ followers, we experience forgiveness of sin and life change as we surrender to Jesus on a daily basis. Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And that's why being a Christian gives me hope. See, God's not finished with me yet. I'm in process. I'm not what I used to be, and I'm becoming what I will be. But most of us seek to present this image of ourselves that is better than we really are. And in that sense, we're all hypocrites. As a Christian, however, I know that God is at work narrowing the gap between what I should be and what I have been. So there's no need for cover-ups. I'm freed from hypocrisy. I can take off my masks now. And having said that, is there really any hope for hypocrites? What if you're a hypocrite? What should you do? You see, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus sternly condemns the sin of hypocrisy. Jesus lashed out 20 different times in the Gospels. against the sin of hypocrisy. And some of his hardest words Jesus ever spoke were directed towards those professional religious pretenders. In one speech in Matthew 23, he called them hypocrites 7 times, fools 2x, blind guides 5 times, serpents and a brood of vipers 1x. Now in Matthew 23, Jesus gives hope to the hypocrites. And I want to read some verses from there this morning. Starting at verse 23, it says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spice, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out the gnat, but swallow a camel." Man, that would be hard to do. But the first hope is that they implement the important matters. You see, these religious actors were obsessed with the trivial. We could say that they majored on the minors. The Old Testament law did not explicitly require a tenth on a tithe on spices. Even though the Pharisees would spend excessive amounts of time debating among themselves whether to give a tenth of their cumin to the Lord. Now, I don't like cumin, so God can have all of my cumin, but dill, I like dill. Maybe 8%. They would debate these things because they were so focused on the smaller things. Jesus points out that they neglected that which was so important: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. See, often legalists are sticklers for detail, but blind to the great principles of the Scripture. And I love the imagery Jesus used to show them as to how blind they are. See, wanting to avoid the impurity caused by a dead insect in their drink, they would strain out the bug before it would die in order to avoid their drink being declared unclean. But Jesus says that they would put a camel, which is the largest land animal in Palestine, and richly unclean, they would take that camel and put it in a cup and gulp it down. Their attention to detail was fine, but they had missed the main point. If you want to avoid being a hypocrite, guard yourself against majoring on the minors, implementing those things that are important. Don't get so caught up in the minutia that you miss the majestic. Now let's continue to read Matthew 23, where he says this: "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will also be clean." See, in this section, Jesus speaks about the dangers of externalizing religion. It's so easy to focus on religious routines that we forget the necessity of cultivating a love relationship with Jesus. And folks, that's what's so important, to have that relationship with Jesus. You can have all the religion in the world and still go to hell. You can be the most religious fanatic in the world and go to hell because you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You must have that relationship. And some of us only express the external instead of intensifying the internal. See, the Pharisees were like that cup that looked really clean on the outside, but the inside was full of greed. It was full of self-indulgence. So if you want to be cured from living a counterfeit life, then intensify those things internal. Keep your insides clean. Focus on the internal, not the external. Because in order to make sure, he made this point. And he urges one more image and gives us one more image that is probably the strongest one he ever used in Scripture. He says these words in chapter 23, verse 27 and following. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but the inside are full of dead men's bones, and everything is unclean. And in the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are filled with hypocrisy and wickedness. Man. See, the Feast of Passover was just around the corner. And in order to spruce up the city, all of the gravestones and the tombs were painted white. And this wasn't just to make things look good. It had a much deeper significance. You see, the Pharisees knew that nothing spread ritual impurity as severely as a corpse. In Numbers 19:11, it says that anyone who touches a dead body was unclean for a week. And the Pharisees believed that one could be rendered religiously dirty and thus ostracized from the Passover celebration, even if one's shadow, just their shadow, were to touch a tombstone. That's why they were painted white, so they could be avoided. They would say, oh, there's a big chunk of white over there. Let's avoid it. I don't want my shadow going near it. And the Pharisees were so set on avoiding things that would render them contaminated that they missed the whole point of the Passover. What really counts as far as God is concerned is what a person is within. It's possible to look good on the outside and yet actually be morally dirty and spiritually dead inside. When viewed from outward appearances, the hypocrite looks good. He plays the part. The problem is that on the inside, where wickedness and evil thoughts, they're reigning supreme. So, fellow hypocrites, do you want some hope today? Do you want to change? Do you want to protect yourself from the tendency to focus on the external? Are you ready to take off that mask? To be authentic? Perhaps for the first time? Then implement the important. Intensify the internal. Jesus embraces those who own up to their mistakes, to their moral failures. We think we need to put on a mask and act religious in order to gain God's favor. But Jesus says, take off the mask. Own up to your rebellion, because if you do, I will forgive you. So are you playing spiritual charades? If you are, stop it right now. Stop it right now. You're not fooling anyone. People can see your hypocrisy, and they're turned off by it. In fact, there may be some non-Christians who have written off the church and God because of the way you've been acting. It's time to come clean, to walk the talk, to live what you say you believe. The way you live your life is important. So if you're investigating Christianity, if you see imperfect Christians, I encourage you not to make a decision on the basis of the unfinished product, but to make your decision on the person of Christ. He can impact your present by forgiving you for your sins. He can make changes in your life now so that you are not what you used to be. And he will help you become what you will be by steadily chipping away at your rough spots, changing you from the inside out. So are you wearing a mask this morning? Are you trying to pretend that you have it all together? What deep inside of you, what's there, God knows about it. When deep inside of you, you know you can't keep the act up much longer. The cure for hypocrisy is not to change anything on the outside. It's not a matter of doing more things or trying to get more religious. That just perpetuates wearing that mask. If you want to change, if you truly want to become someone you never were before, the change has to take place inside. Join the ranks of the forgiven sinners. Because then when someone follows you with that camera, they'll find something even more newsworthy than a holy hypocrite. The camera will show someone who has the courage to take off his or her mask and to be real. And that will be a real story. Are there any takers this morning? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you that there is an ability to change us, that your Spirit wants to work in our lives, that your Spirit can chip away at all those rough edges, that you can provide that divine house cleaning that we need. Give us the courage and the humility to ask for forgiveness. Give us the power to live the way the Bible teaches. Develop within us the character of Christ. Take those fruit of the Spirit. Allow them to ripen in our lives so that all may see you in our lives. That they would not be turned away by hypocrisy. But they would be drawn to you because of you, working through us. Pray these things in your name. Amen.